Good morning. This is the time of year we talk about the summer workshops. In 1992, we have scheduled 2 workshops in Taos. We have made an effort to take the price of accommodations in Taos into consideration this year and have come up with what we hope are exciting and satisfying solutions. The first workshop will be held on the Mesa the weekend of June 13th, 14th, 1992. It will be a workshop to deepen our basic skills of awareness. These skills include breathing, meditation, expansion, staying in the moment, awareness of the presence of the divine, and using our life's lessons. The newly renovated, moderately priced Sun God Motel has offered a 20% discount to any participant in this workshop who wishes to stay Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th in town in Taos. We have received very good reports from people who have stayed at the Sun God in the past and feel confident in recommending them. Their phone number here is area code 505-758-3162. And the person to talk to about reservations is Pam. Just tell her you are part of the Bartholomew group who is staying June 12th and 13th and wish to take advantage of their 20% discount. Nature as Mirror of the Self, with a cap S, is the second summer workshop to be held here August 29th and 30th. This one is particularly exciting because of the location and accommodations we have found. For those of you who have been staying at the Branham Ranch in the past, this will be a welcome change. Both workshop and accommodations will be at the Austing House on the slopes of Taos Mountain. We have always known Bartholomew feels this is a power mountain, and we welcome the opportunity this year to experience it firsthand. The Austing House is a ski lodge in the winter and a quiet retreat in the summer, located on the road to the Taos Ski Valley. Hiking trails begin at the lodge and the Hondo River is right across the road. We will be taking advantage of this exquisite location to make the truth that everything we see is the God Self a personal reality. This will include the practice of outside seated and walking meditation, experiencing the sounds, feeling, and sights of nature, creating mandalas, and using Tony techniques and nature's silence. Bartholomew has wanted to see if all of us being together for 2 nights and 2 days will make a difference in our ability to internalize the teachings. Therefore, all participants in this workshop must stay at the Austing House. They are offering us lovely rooms with phone, TV, which we hope you will not use, full private bath, and individual queen-size beds. In addition, 2 breakfasts, 2 lunches, and 1 dinner are included in the cost. The price for 2 nights lodging and 5 meals is $100 per person double occupancy and $115 per person single occupancy for the weekend. When you send in your deposit for this workshop, please include your choice of single or double occupancy for the nights of August 28th and 29th, along with half the cost of room and board. The cost of each workshop is $175 per person. To reserve a place in the workshop of your choice, send a $75 deposit to Joy Franklin, P.O. Box 2996, Taos, New Mexico 87571. Please make your checks payable to Vista Grande School. You will receive an almost immediate confirmation and a complete information packet 3 weeks before the workshop. See you aquí in Taos this summer. Thank you. This is January 19th, and the next meeting is on February 23rd, 1992, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well, good morning, my friends. I think it would be appropriate, as I sense the awareness around the room this morning, to deal with something that you really need to understand, more deeply. And it's something that we've talked about before, but I think now is the time for you to take a serious look at this subject, which is, where do you go for your safety? If you have noticed, on a national scale, there's a lot of anxiety building in various sectors of your world. When you look at the global scale, anxieties are building here and there. And if one wants to be negative, well, you know all the negative things to say. I would choose not to. So let us focus on the possibility of the wonderful opportunity of God consciousness to make use of this worldwide difficulty. Remember that God uses anything at all that is presented out of consciousness in order to bring you home. God uses everything that is available. And if you are aware and alive, you are probably in some state of anxiety over things. And when you begin to claim that and not pretend to be such a holy spiritual seeker that you have no fear, then you can become very real about your own life and your approach to a state of peace that absolutely does not depend on what is happening in the world outside of you. And that is the ultimate state that you are reaching for. You can call it enlightenment and want to see the gods dancing in your living room, and that's all very well, and it's very possible. It takes a little more work than most of you are putting into it, however, but it is possible. But the peace that we are discussing, that place within being that knows the security of being and the power and the wonder and the magnificence and the usefulness of being, the creativity of just being who you are, in no way connected with what you are doing in being, that is a state that is absolutely available to any one of you in this room who is willing to do a minimum amount of work. This is not something that is so far away that you're going to have to search and search and search and then hopefully 30 years from now fall into it. If so, it's not going to help you, because those of you that are still here 30 years from now, things are not going to be like this. You know, now is the time that you need the peace. You know, in the next, what, 6, 7, 8 years, you're going to, let's not even wait 6, how about right now? Things are in flux. When you look at the planetary expansion and explosion, you are looking at a totally different planet than you were looking at just a very short time ago. When the power of awareness is in motion, things begin to move. And my friends, I want to tell you, you are partly responsible for all of this, because all of you sit around and say, I want things to be different. I want to know. I want to be free. I want to have a feeling of knowing. I want to have a sense of God presence. I want, I want, I want. Now, in each one in their own way, in the entire planetary system, is making a cry for something. Whether you understand and appreciate what they are calling for is irrelevant. Every soul and every being on this planet has a soul, whatever someone else might have told you. Every being on this planet has a soul, and within that soul there is a cry. And that cry is for an increased awareness of some kind. Now, when we ask those of you who are at all interested in any kind of planetary transmutation of awareness, of light, of love, of power, of whatever it is, this is where we ask you to make your focus. Now, if it takes anxiety and fear to bring you to peace, then we must say to you, is there not a great deal of gratitude inside of you for those things that bring you fear? I repeat. If it is a feeling of fear that moves you to the place where you are determined to find and hold and be peace every moment of your life, does it not make sense then that you would have gratitude, deep abiding gratitude, for all of that that brought the fear into your life in the first place? Now, I will grant you that's probably the last thing that most people think about. It is not a popular political item to walk around saying, be happy for your misery, because it's going to bring you to awareness. You see, this is something that inside of you, you have to begin to make a decision. What is the process? Number one, please recognize any degree of fear, anxiety, or desperation in your life. As spiritual seekers, you have been taught to turn away from the thoughts of fear that arise in your mind. You've been taught to turn away from your own judgmental assessments of things. You've been taught to just be the light. And you know what they say, oh, just stop all of that and just be more loving. All right, well, let me tell you that love is the presence of love, and what keeps it from being felt is fear. Fear and love cannot be felt at the same time, but it's a very interesting and wonderful thing, and please, those of you who do have ears to hear, hear this. If you will stay with the feeling of fear and not try to run away from it, if you will just sit with it as you would a sick friend, and just stay with it and stay with it and in some way even hold its hand, to really be close and intimate with the feeling of fear, what is fascinating about it is it moves through its stages and moves to that place where there is total peace in the presence of that fear. You see, it isn't that you are in fear and then you leap somehow to peace. How are you going to do that? How are you going to leap from a state of fear to a state of peace? How are you going to do that? Well, what you usually say is, I have to take care of this fear. I've got to take care of it. There's a problem here. I have to solve it. But you see, let us say that your basic fear is that you're going to die. How are you going to solve that? Because whatever you say, you are going to die. And people come to me and they say, I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of dying. And when we get deeply into it, oh, yes, they are. And then there's the other side, which is, I'm not so much afraid of dying as I'm afraid of living. Well, and here you all are, and you are living, and you're living your life. Now, how are you realistically going to move from that absolutely bona fide sense of fear and frustration and anxiety about the future? How are you going to move from that to this other all-encompassing place that we're discussing? So, back to the basics. Number one, be a friend to yourself and face the fear. That means open up the door. Open up that door and allow yourself to begin to acknowledge when you are in a state of fear. And instead of trying to figure out how you got there and how to get out, just be willing to keep on saying, fear is present. Fear is present. Fear is present. And then begin to feel what fear feels like in your system. It feels differently depending on who is doing the feeling of it. And this is why it's very difficult for someone else to say to you, I know what you're feeling, and I will tell you how to get out of it. Because first of all, they don't know what you're feeling because it's very different. And second, there is no way out of fear. Please, if you could just realize that part of the magnificence of the human condition, and I know that's a difficult thing to say to you, part of the magnificence of the human condition is that there is an element of fear and it rides every moment of your life. Now, the interesting thing about fear, if you begin to look at it, is it's also a kind of excitement. And so you bind these two together, you have fear and you have excitement, and the exciting part about it is there's a knowing that there's a way to move through this. You never feel, I do not care how desperate you may be, there is a part of you that absolutely knows that if you will simply pay attention to what is happening to you, you can move through the fear, the confusion, the doubt, and the darkness, and what you will find is not so much that the things in your life change, but there is a knowing of that magnificent substrata of consciousness, this magnificent, ebullient, bubbling, radiant, peaceful feeling of life, of knowingness, of awareness that just rides with you every time you rise and fall. It isn't, again, please, every illumined one did not wander around in a total state of no anxiety about certain situations. The classic story, as you know, is when Ramana's mother died, he was crying. His disciples said, how dare you cry? You're enlightened. And he said, it is absolutely appropriate that a son mourn for the death of his mother. And there were real tears. It wasn't just a falsity. But at the same moment that the tears were running down as his heart was going through whatever it was going through, there was riding with that feeling, with that event, with that a knowing that empowered it and said, this is what it is to be a human. These are the feelings and the responses that human consciousness has as being here. And the beautiful sense of the bliss, please hear, the bliss of feeling the pain, the bliss of feeling the pain of the loss. Because you see, my friends, When you feel the loss, that is life. That is what it is to be on this earth plane, the rising and falling of all kinds of fortunes. That is what it is to be a human. Things come and things go, and they rise and they fall. What the enlightened one knows is the incredible joy and delight and privilege that it is to be feeling that feeling. Now, you say to me, it is a privilege to be feeling my pain and my loss and my fear and my sorrow. And I say to you, yes, it is, and let's talk about why. One of the ways to talk about the aim of coming into a physical birth is to come to the knowing that you have come to this planet to participate in an incredible, exciting expansion. And what you are doing is coming and bringing more and more deep awareness into all of the createdness. And as you begin to understand the excitement of your wonderful undertaking, you begin to realize that it doesn't matter if you are in a state of feeling happy about your situation or sorrowful, that there is something far vaster that is felt in the midst of sorrow and in the midst of happiness that transcends both sorrow and happiness, and please hear this, gives meaning to both sorrow and happiness. It is the knowing that what you are about is so incredibly, extensively wondrous and important and in its deepest sense, creatively meaningful. Every breath that you breathe, my friends, is creatively meaningful should you be breathing with awareness. If you are not breathing with awareness, then everything simply goes on in its mundane modality until some moment that you decide to live each moment with creative awareness, and then you begin to really feel in your system, in your moment, in your life, in your body, in your pain, in your isolation, in your fear, whatever it is, you begin to know that you are experiencing these feelings for an incredibly magnificent reason. You do not suffer without meaning. To suffer without meaning is death. But to suffer with knowing that the way, the integrity, the fullness that you bring to that suffering, the wonder and the love and the compassion and the beauty and the humor that you bring to whatever the situation, when you really understand that that act is why you came, not to reach some ultimate state of expansion, which is also a great deal of fun, but that you came for this ongoing, moment-by-moment transformation of your own fear into some deep, sweet knowing, then every moment of your life is as important as every other moment. It does not matter what is happening to you in the external world. You simply realize that the job is every moment. The job is every breath. It has very little to do with what you are doing. So you can be told that you will spend the next 20 years lying in a hospital bed somewhere, and you will be able to bring the excitement and the knowing and the wonder and the mystery and the wholeness of life into that situation. You can take the biggest nightmare that your fear mind can create and realize that whatever happens to you, this will never be taken from you, and it is your reason for being. It is your reason for walking this earth. It is the reason for your birth process, is to know that every moment is essentially transmutable and transformative. And as you begin to get excited about every breath that you breathe, realize the incredible importance of that breath, then your life takes on a totally new awareness. Then all of those things that you thought you had to have in order to have you feel peaceful, you will start to, you'll still pursue, of course, you'll still pursue and go and need and want and collect and all of that, of course. That is not the issue. The issue is this magnificent knowing that every breath that you take is a holy breath. Every breath that you take, taken with awareness, is a holy breath and is the thing that brings you closer and closer to that moment of peaceful knowing. If you will just decide to begin to breathe every moment with the knowingness of the wonderful, incredible honor it is to be here in this experience doing what you're doing, and just realize it is the breath that is the gift. It is the breath that is the God. It is the breath that is the light. It is the awareness in the moment of looking at everything and saying, that is it. And to know that, and to not seek to change it, to transform it, to make it different, to take it away or to bring it closer. When you understand that this moment is absolutely the moment of the magic, of the mystery of awareness, then your life becomes a mystery and a magic. And then you start realizing the incredible wonder of walking around just breathing. Just being aware of being totally in the present. You say to me, I don't know how to be totally in the present. I say, I've been yelling at you for all, we're going into our 15th year. Right? Some of you getting a little tired of this. You know, this is our 15th year and here we are. And so we go back to the basics. And the basic is simply this. When you decide to stay in the moment and to see it and hear it and feel it, to hear your thoughts, to hear your emotions, to feel your emotions, to be aware of your body. When you really decide to stay home inside this body and not go off on fantasies and mind excursions and all of that, when you stay perfectly grounded, deeply grounded in this moment, you are going to begin to feel the gift of life. And what is the gift of life? You know it. Here we go. The gift of life is feeling, no matter how limited your life, that you are filled with life. That means the paraplegic, totally out on the bed, has the same amount of life force capability throbbing through that body, pulsating through it in a way that bypasses all the neurological data and so on and so on. It is something that is not based on your neurological system. It is based on a different system, and let us talk about that for a moment. As science gets more and more sophisticated about telling you what you are, I would like for you to have a glimpse of it, another doorway onto who you might be, so that you can fit it in with all of the amazing data that will be coming forward in the next few years. One of the things that science is going to very definitely come upon is that pulsating with a pulsar, I love the word, with this a pulsar pulsating, in each one of the, how many, 3 trillion cells in your body, there is a pulsating. And in every one of those 3 trillion cells, this pulsating particle, which is the absence of form, they're not going to find it in a form. It's going to be in the absence of form. It's going to be found more as a motion, something that is in motion and yet still has a stillness to it. All the words are going to go into stress. How can something be in motion and still be silent? How can something be still and still be creating? They're going to get closer and closer. Remember the Soviet Union. Remember what Edgar Cayce said, that the Soviet Union would find God in the laboratory. Well, it's coming. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the Soviet Union, since there isn't one. We'll see who takes up the job here. But there is. Now, I'm not talking about a subatomic particle. I'm talking about the substance within which all of the subatomic particles rests. They're going to finally realize that there is something surrounding and upholding the subatomic particles, and it is that that they're going to begin to put their awareness on. And as you know, when any group of disciplined beings, whether they be spiritually oriented or scientifically, whenever a group of beings put their awareness on something, things come out. Truth comes up out of that. And so as they begin to become excited about this wave that has no substance to it, that has no breaking down about it, that is somehow whole and ever extending and doesn't break down. You see, science is used to seeing things break down. And when they come to that which does not break down, do you understand the excitement? When they finally realize this is something that they cannot reduce to anything else. And there's going to be tremendous trauma, because everything should be reduced to something else. But when they become aware of all of these things that are separated, reduce themselves into this other sea of something that is inseparable, and indeed that they find these seemingly separated particles themselves seem to disappear and move back into this oneness, this something. When they finally realize that these subatomic particles rise, have life, and then somehow move back into something that doesn't divide, and they're going to find this. Can you understand the excitement? I hope. Is this all right? All right. All right. Well, I don't know. All right. All of this. Then they're going to begin, in our terminology here, to begin to pay attention to the 99% instead of the 1%. And then the mystery is going to be, what is this magnificent substance of something that doesn't break down, that indeed everything that ever has form comes out of and has life and then drifts back into and somehow becomes invisible once again? How they are going to deal with this is an exciting moment for all of them. But my point to you now is that you have, as your own awareness, the ability to find this out in your own body. Because in each of these trillions of cells, there is, of course, this magnificent substance that is now called space, because it is no substance, this mysterious whateverness. And it is the basic part of who you are, and resting in beautiful patterns within your own energy awareness of the substance are these power packs, these points of light, these points of power, these points of pulsating knowing. And when you begin to really see yourself, and you will be on the screens, you know, they'll be able to project your own particular energy pattern. I'm not talking about your physical pattern. I'm talking about the basic strata of your energy field. When they are able to project that on a screen, there may be billions of screen projections, and you will know yours. You will know which is yours without anyone telling you, because you will know it to be you. So what I'm asking you to be aware of is that this incredibly alive networking of power, of wonder, is constantly pulsating within that which you call the physical body. It has absolutely no necessity to be in a physical body. And have you ever wondered, what part of you is it that leaves the body? You know, I have this idea that people think that there's this, ectoplasm. Isn't that a terrible word? God is contained in ectoplasm, but God is not an ectoplasm. This idea, you see, is that here is your physical shell, and that somehow God breathes life into it, I suppose, from the top of the head, or maybe the mouth, and then life goes in, and then when you're done, they open it up, and out it goes, and so on. A little humor here, please. Well, that's one way to look at it, and indeed, it is true that when people leave the physical body, there is a motion of some of the denser parts of consciousness that do rise up and move out, either up through the top of the head and so on, and that is all a truth. But that is not who you are. That is an accumulation of mental and emotional patternings. But what you really are, and if this is too esoteric, I won't do it again, but what you really are is this magnificent, pulsating, magnetic, almost, it's not electronic, because they will devise a word for it, pulsating patterning of trillions of points of light and power that pulsate constantly through you, and it is that pulsation that keeps you alive. And what is it that fuels the pulsation, and you all know this, is of course the breath. When breath ceases, the pulsation into the pattern ceases. And it is not that the pattern then dies, or fades, or diminishes, or dims out. It simply is that you realize that these trillions of patternings, which are your own being, what you are connected in infinite, infinitely magnificent, magnificent motions with all of the other particles and lines that are all of the rest, not only of humankind, but of this microphone, of this water, of everything. Everything, no matter what it is, has its own pulsating pattern. That's true. All form, no matter how different it looks from your human form, has this magnificent alive patterning. And it is the breath that fuels and fires the pulsation in the body, in the body. When the body has finished its necessity, the breath ceases to pulsate the system, and that patterning, which is the essence of who you are, simply recedes and moves into other patternings and no longer identifies with the physical body. And this is when it simply, if I could put it this way, it simply drops, and this is not literally true, but that's the only image we can give, it just drops out of the human body and moves and deeply puts itself, places itself, merges itself with a deeper state of awareness. Now, you all know this. Go back to all of those books that talk about, Dr. Moody talks about, what is it that happens when someone leaves the physical body and they find themselves standing, or even perhaps not even that, they feel something, they don't say, I'm standing, but something is in the presence of an incredible vortex that seems to have some kind of a shape and form, but not really. It just happens to be light, and it's pulsating light, and what they feel from it is overwhelming, overwhelming love and compassion. That this whatever it is has nothing but overwhelming love and compassion for this energy field that is presenting itself at the feet of this magnificent something. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about that energy pattern, which is the pulsation of the patterning that we discussed, has moved out, dropped out of, however you want to talk, out of the physical conglomerate, which then begins to move back into other realms and back into another beautiful substrata of wonder. And this knowing simply moves to another state of consciousness and blends with it. And what is not recorded, because all of these people came back into body, what is not recorded is what happens when you choose to go on. I'm saying this not that I want to excite any of you unduly about this prospect, and I don't certainly want you to hasten your approach to it, but I would like to describe, because the books don't complete the sequence because everyone has returned to a body. What indeed happens is, remember the truth, that you are this magnificent patterning of absolutely pulsating power, of God's self, of the love, of the compassion, the knowing that is you, because that is what you are as well. And as it leaves body form and begins to move toward this vast body of being that it sees as separate from itself, what happens when you really die, or come to another awakening, so I think it should be stated, you then begin to blend your energy pattern with that magnificent energy pattern that the entity has perceived as being outside of his or herself. Do you understand? You simply blend into it. Because you just move out of one reality and simply merge with a deeper reality. And this deeper reality is not out there or somewhere away. It is also intimately present here in this moment. And this is the point that we want to say again. Please envision yourself dying, and your energy field moves in whatever way, you know, if you've heard all the stories, and you find yourself in the presence of the most loving, compassionate, accepting, magnetic field of awareness, filled with a warmth and a light and a beauty and that your response is just total love and awe and gratitude. Now, at this moment in your life, if you would simply begin to remember that you are this magnificent magnetic field, and that riding, absolutely riding in and around and through, is this other magnetic field that you call something greater than you, the great ones, Christ, Buddha, the God Self, whatever it might be. That energy field is riding absolutely within, and it's as if two nettings, two magnificent nettings ride together, totally feeling themselves as there's no interchange, there's no separation, they just ride together and they harmonize together. You experience yourself as one of those networkings. What I'm asking you to do by being aware of the breath and being aware now, because I've told you now you know, each breath brings that other networking of life closer and closer and closer to your everyday human awareness. And no matter what you are doing, if you can just remember that every breath, if done with awareness, just makes this bonding between the seemingly two networkings, which it is not, become more and more and more alive. It is breathing and feeling the moment with awareness. It's staying in the moment, steady, centered, clear in the moment. It is that power of awareness, staying in the moment, that begins to blend these two seemingly separate networkings. And so you don't have to wait to die to be able to blend your networking with these great, magnificent webs, which are totally interconnected throughout all of consciousness. And outside of consciousness, it's all connected. I say to you again and again, you're all one. How do you translate that? How do you understand that in your being? And I'd ask you to think about this. It is this incredible networking of pulsating wonder and power and love and knowing and beingness that is the pulsating patterns of everyone, and not only every human, but all of the created. It is one pulsating pattern, and that pattern rides in a wave of essence. And it seems at this moment that there are two things. Science says there are subatomic particles riding in something. And you believe that you are a human being riding in something. This moment, this room, this body, this floor, this mind, this set of emotion. What I would ask that you get excited about, my friends, is that all of this magnificence or pain, whatever it is constantly riding in this other magnificent magnetic sea or wave, however you want to talk about it, that you have attributed to the great ones, to the gods, to the wise ones, to God itself, whatever it is. But what in the end is it? One way of talking about that is a magnetic, absolutely magnetic, pulsating networking that permeates every cell of the trillion cells within you and in all of consciousness. Constantly, and these are words that are not really true, but we use them, constantly being fired off again and again and again. And it is that firing off feeling that begins to be the bliss of your life. Now, how complicated is this? It is really very simple. It is far simpler than having to become pure and good and perfect, because that's the other alternative. If there really is a big daddy in the sky, if there really is some judgmental awareness out there that will refuse to encompass you with love and total understanding, then you have a tough job on your hands, because you have to find a way to be different than you are. And this is who you are, and it's enough. This is who you are, and it's enough. But you have to understand which you I am talking about. The ever-changing parts of you, you know, they have proved that each one of your cells keeps changing instantly, instantly, instantly. This is going on all the time. You know yourself that your emotions change just like this. You know your thoughts. I mean, your thoughts, they're again, don't they change? I mean, moment after moment, what is going on? Where then is this eternal something? Where is the changeless? It's not in your mind. It's not in your emotions. It's not in your physical body. This physical body is changing. Each cell is throwing off parts of itself constantly. It's an ever-changing. Then where do we get these words such as the eternal? So, please begin, if you can, to move closer to the reality of who you really are. By breathing into this body, into all of the interfaced motions. When you breathe into the body with awareness, you breathe into your emotional body and your mental body as well as your physical body. And as you do that with awareness, what you are doing in the deepest sense is with this awareness, you are firing off yet again this networking of power. Now look, if all that was required was to breathe, then you'd all be there, because that's something you're doing all the time. And I like to make a little joke, which you might not think so funny, and if all that's required is eating a pure food and sitting around, then everyone in a rest home should be enlightened, because that's the kind of treatment that they have at that moment. And that's not the case. So what is missing? What is missing is what we're asking today that you put your awareness on. Without putting the power of your awareness on this magnificent system, then you do not begin to feel and participate in the firing mechanism, in the wonder of it, in the electric, the electric life that it gives. Electric is the closest that we can get at the moment. But when you have those moments that you have all had of some kind of awakening, you feel alive. What is it they say? I felt alive for the first time. I felt my whole being filled with power. They just don't talk about the heart or the mind. The whole being is full of light. I experienced myself as a total wash of power and light and wonder and knowing and love. Whereas the smallest part of the toe is as important as the deepest part of the heart. And the mind is no different from the finger. All is somehow this intricately, magnificently joined oneness, which is you. So back to where we began. It is the nature of the 1% of awareness, of consciousness in the body, to go through stages up and down, rising and falling. They are waves. So then you have fear, then you have no fear. Then you have terror, then you have no terror. Then you have love, then you have mitigated love. Then you have lots of love and little love. And then you have good, you know it all. You have it. Then you have your money and then you don't. And then you have whatever. This is good. All right, now, if you are going to somehow try to control that, go ahead. And you will have some success. But that is not my point this morning. That's for another time, and we've talked about that before. What is my point this morning is something quite different, which is when you begin to feel, let us say you wake up and you feel fear, the first thing that the mind wants to do is to identify why you're afraid. My friends, if you are smart, and everyone in this room is smart, there are lots of things you should be afraid of. You know, unless you have buried your head in the sand, and I don't think so because you're all here, there are lots of things to be afraid of. Not only in your own life, but in the lives of people that you love, and so on and so on. So, do we agree, at least for the moment, that fear is a part of your life? All right. Now, when you awaken, fear is present. I ask you the first thing, try not to identify why. Because all that's going to happen is the first little thing that pops up, your awareness is going to say, that's it. Now, if you stay with it, there's going to be the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And what I'm asking you to do is to not become too attached with identifying why, but just begin to feel the feeling itself. And to help you do this, say things like, fear is present. Fear is present in me. Now, The moment that you have acknowledged fear is present and put your awareness on it, what you are doing is bringing a vaster power, which is your awareness, to a smaller power, which is the fear, and they begin to blend, and that very paying attention begins to modify and change the fear. You need to experiment for the next year about this and see if it's true. The very fact that you put your awareness on the fear begins to change the fear itself. It smooths it out. It makes it more porous. It makes it more light-hearted. It begins to change it. This is what you do when you go to therapy. You take the power of your awareness into those tight, locked-in places, and you bombard it with your awareness. Whatever else you're doing, do you understand? You're bombarding that tight, frightened, dark, scared place of awareness with something else, with the power of really placing awareness on it. And that very process is why so many of you have found such a wonderful relief from the process of therapy. And what are you doing? You are taking the awareness and placing it in that place. And the very act, I do not care what you say. You can say, blah, 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 it was this, it was that. You can make up stories. Oh, I know what's wrong here, it was this. And maybe it isn't it at all. And do you see, it doesn't matter. Someone says, listen, when you're in therapy, you have to get to the truth. I say, I don't care about the truth. What I care about is, do you place your awareness on that barnacle bundle of pain? If you do, you are breaking up its structure. And if you want to tell yourself stories about how it happened, maybe it was that way. But why it happened is not essentially the answer here. Because the problem is that those tight areas began in other lifetimes as well. And here we go, unto the third generation. Well, we don't have to worry about that. Let's just realize the process. You are taking the wondrous, exciting, transformative power of your awareness and placing it on your pain. And then it begins to break up. And then you begin to spark off other kinds of knowing. And things loosen up. You become more lighthearted. Light begins to permeate where the darkness was. All of this. Now, what did people do before therapy? They did this themselves. They did this in the family units. They did this in different ways. But with the family disintegration, now we have to bring in what I would call the extended family, which is, at best, I hope that your therapist is a friend. I don't mean in the emotional sense, but one that you trust. So you both put your power of awareness on it. And the wonderful thing is a therapist, if they're paying attention, their blocks get worked on as well. And so great explosions take place. If you have a therapist that doesn't think they have any blocks, get another therapist. Because what it is a wonderful mutuality. Two people agreeing to sit in a room and put the power of their awareness on pain. Because make no mistake, John Donne was right. For whom does the bell toll? It tolls for thee. There's no question. If there is pain in other, there is pain in you. That's just the way it is. So the simplicity of all this, please, is just to begin to awaken in the night, to feel the fear, and to just stay with it, and realize that all that you need to do is keep your awareness on it. As you move through your day, be pleased, my friends, please stay awake. Be aware of what you're thinking. Be aware of the feeling. And if you can, as best you can, name it. And you say, I'm too busy. I say, all right, when you're too busy, then just be present. If you are a surgeon, I don't want you worrying about, you know, your thoughts. I want you to be totally present in the liver. You know, here is this liver. I want, please, the total presence so that there's no separation between you and liver. And so that the hands that are moving the liver, are participating deeply in the exchange of cell to cell, of the cells of the finger of the surgeon and the cells of the liver itself. There is a dance that goes on. And if you're speaking to someone, talking with someone, be aware, please, of this dance, that there's this dance going on between you, whereas that which is you merges and dances with that which is them that's coming back. I'm talking about on a cellular level, where those radiant points of trillions of light powers are constantly blending with each other. And the wonder about days like this is that's what's happening out here as well, which is why we always ask for meditation. Because as you all come in as separate energy fields, when we're done, if we do our job right, there is one energy field with a different pattern that pulsates. And this is why when two or more are gathered, you can have tremendous explosions of consciousness. Because all of that energy then radiates and pulsates that patterning and makes it a bigger pattern. Can you see how? If you have like-hearted people and like-minded people pulsating together, you will all begin to feel something that's greater than yourself. Your own separate pattern then becomes vaster. Your separate pattern becomes larger. And what the hope is that eventually you'll see this as a pattern for the entire world, and after that for all of the createdness, and so on and so on. There is no end to this magnificent dance. So, where do you go for your safety? In the end, safety is a knowing that whatever happens, God is in God's heaven and all's right with your world. That is a safety. Knowing that whatever happens, all's right, all's well, exactly as it is, without anything changed, added to, taken from. And where do you get that knowing? You get it by feeling the pulsation of that vast pattern within you. You can call it life if you want. You can call it God if you want. But it is a pulsating pattern that you feel. And you feel it in every cell of your body. And if you want to begin to participate in that pulsation, just begin to turn your awareness to your body as a whole body, and begin to sense the pulsation of it. Moment after moment after moment, stop and do it. Be aware of the breath. Be aware that it is the breath that makes that pulsation alive for you. And it is when you connect the breath and the pulsing that you can sit in the midst of the biggest nightmare and feel the nightmare, yes, but this incredible pattern that just vibrates through all of it, that gives all of it mystery and wonder and purpose and absolute joy. You say to me, I don't believe I could feel joy in the midst of some of these difficulties. And I say to you, it's been done again and again and again. Your safety lies in the feeling of the endless, magnificent wisdom of that pulsating power that moves through every moment of your life, that tells you moment after moment, all's well. All's well. You're not alone. This pulsation is alive. It gives you the same feeling that those who thought they were dying received from these figures that they presented themselves to. It's that same knowing of an energy field that just pulsates total love, total acceptance, total knowingness of the incredible, wonderful, magnificent creation that you are participating in. There is no safety that will stand up other than that. You can be a very loving person and be filled with fear. So how? I hope we've outlined it. It's a moment-to-moment aliveness. Quieting down just for a moment, remembering the trillions and trillions of points of power. And just breathing with the knowing Many of you breathe in light into your body. And if that is appropriate for you, by all means. You might try to add, as a small part of this, just the feeling that the breath brings the explosion of power to all of the cells of your being. Therein lies your real safety, is the knowing, the total knowing, intermeshed with every moment, no matter what. Is this overwhelming awareness? All's well. All is absolutely as it has to be, as it needs to be, as it wants to be. And when you are in touch with that part of your being, then you do not care what happens, because you know that it's what needs to be and wants to be. I'd like to thank you all for coming. Before I leave, one last thing. Please remember, this electronic pulsation is not lifeless and somehow dead. When you begin to feel it moment after moment coursing through your physical body, your mental body, your emotional body, when you feel it, you will walk around with tears of gratitude running down your face. It is the most exquisite feeling that it is possible to feel in a human body. All other pleasures pale. You will be filled with the most incredible gratitude that this is the assignment that you chose, and you will live it from a level of deep gratitude and honor for yourself and for everyone else, and most of all, for the amazing patterning that presented it to you as a possibility in the first place. So, my thanks. We'll have a 10-minute meditation for those that are interested.